This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
You are watching Leicester Till I Die TV. Till I die.
Right, Chris.
Alrighty, good evening. How the devil are you? Welcome along. Hope this finds you well, wherever you are. So good evening, good morning, good day, good afternoon, good night, goodbye. I think I've just about covered everything there. It's Carabao Cup week. Yeah, it doesn't get me excited. I'm sorry. Maybe if we get through to the semis, which I doubt we will because who we've got this week. But if we get through to the semis of the quarter, I can't get excited by this cup. They just don't take it seriously. And I think when you look at the fact that who's on TV tomorrow and obviously on Thursday as well, you're talking about Manchester City, Newcastle. Of course, two teams that really do need the publicity and the TV views. And I know why they do it, because they're the ones that everybody's going to be watching. But really, I mean, come on, show. There's lower league clubs. And I'm not talking Leicester. I'm talking about League One, League Two clubs that could really do with the revenue. But Sky don't give a shit about them. Do you remember those days during COVID when they said it was all about the fans? Fucking hell, was it Eckers like? But welcome along. Also, welcome along to That Man Stub Show. If you are a Liverpool fan, we extend the warm hand of friendship above the across the River Mersey and welcome along. This is where you can find us, LTID TV. That's all our social media there. But tonight we are going to be talking Liverpool versus Leicester. Hopefully a better result than last time when we met pre-season. But let's find out, because it's been a good start for both teams. And say hello to Stephen. Good evening, sir. How the devil are you?
Yeah, good. Always good to come on, mate. Thanks for the invite. Looking forward to it.
How are you? You're welcome. Well, apart from the fact that I decided when I was just making myself a brew before I came on, that I would pour the water all over the top rather than actually in the cup. Apart from that, I'm doing okay. Enjoying the fact of learning what it feels like to win games again. It had been a while, but we're back. But a good start for both teams. Second, the Premier League. Now, obviously, we were in it until last year. I can't say I particularly miss a lot of it. It's great having no VAR. It's great. It's great. Well, yeah, it's funny because you want to shout at the referee and you go to shout at the referee, but then you stop yourself because you think, nah, fair enough, mate. You've just had to quickly make that decision. You know, even if not. I watched the London Derby. I don't know if you saw it at the weekend, and there was the penalty incident.
Yes.
It took VAR about 4 minutes to decide that it was a penalty. Now, maybe some were watching it. It's the first time I've watched a Premier League game this season. We saw one replay and went, penalty. Why does it take? I mean, that's what I don't get. And I don't miss that at all. It's great. And it's proper football. The amount of times free kicks that were being given where in the Championship, you're allowed to play on. I don't miss it.
It's the consistency more than anything else, isn't it? Because you could ask 10 different referees and all of them will give different decisions, you know. So there's no consistency, mate, to be honest. And it's like you said, true fans, even when I'm doing my watch-alongs on my channel, I mean, you can't even celebrate just because you don't know if there's going to be a 5-10 minute delay on VAR, anything like that. So it does take that sort of enjoyment and excitement out of celebrating a goal because you just don't know if you can celebrate anymore.
Well, we played Norwich the other week and McAteer got the second goal. And I have to be honest with you, to me, it looked a million miles offside. But look, I take it. I don't think I understand the offside rules anymore. Any rest do. And the guy looked over his shoulder, the flag stayed down, and it was an instant celebration.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what you miss. That's what you miss in the Premier League because there's no set standard, is there? Everything goes to VAR. There's a two-minute check. And then you celebrate the goal, what, 2 or 3 minutes later, you know, it does take that excitement out of it. But this is the new way of football now, isn't it?
It is, unfortunately. So if we do come back up, that will be one thing I won't be particularly looking forward to. But a few hellos, because obviously we're on your platform as well. So give us a shout out about your platform.
So, obviously you can find me on Statman Stubbs Football Channel, do lots of things. I've sort of scaled it down a bit due to work and commitments and stuff like that. So really what I'm focusing on is the two best things that are being voted by the viewers as well. So that's the prediction show, which I do, and the watch-alongs as well. But they're asking for previews and stuff like that. But, yeah, the two main ones I do are the prediction show and the football watch-alongs. But not just Liverpool, just any watch-alongs. I enjoy watching football, to be honest, so any watch-alongs I can do, I certainly do try anyway.
Yeah, I must admit, I watched that game, and yes, obviously it had everything that a North London derby has, but
yeah,
I miss being in the Premier League, but I don't miss the Premier League, so I must admit, I don't miss watching football as in like the Premier League. Dylan says, hello. Now then, Stubbs, look at that intro. I think he's trying to stir things up a little bit for you there.
Yeah, he is.
Red, big up your cheeking bastard. I remember that. That's still going on. My God.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
Nate is in. Good evening, Nate. How are you? Glasgow, big up guys, hope you both well. I am. Scott is in as well. Hello, hope everybody is okay. We are. Look, we met briefly for sort of one game pre-season in Thailand. Yeah. We managed to avoid the monsoon that we'd had the week before against Spurs. 4-0, I think, all right, I mean, at the end of the day, I'm not one of those. I never look at something and think, right, well, that didn't reflect the game. It did, because you won 4-0. But I don't think, I mean, you had sort of, 30, 35, 38, three goals there within sort of the space of about 10 minutes.
Yeah.
But up until that point, I thought we were giving you quite a good game.
Yeah, from what I remember, because I was actually on holiday in Cyprus at the time. So I do remember watching it, and you guys had quite a few chances before that. I think you had a one-on-one that McAtee causes quite a few problems on your left-hand side, obviously all right. You missed quite a few sitters in another day. It could have been a different scoreline, but like you say, three goals in, 10 minutes in the first half did completely change the grasp of the game. And maybe 4-0 was quite flattering in the end, but because it wasn't as comfortable as a 4-0 suggestion would sound. But yeah, we were all over the place. I think it was one of our last sort of pre-season games before we went over to, I think it was back to the UK anyway. I think it was the last game before we went back to the UK. I mean, like I say, 4-0, not a true reflection on the game. If you had taken your chances, it could have been a different story.
And your thoughts on Leicester coming out of the hat and being drawn at home against us?
Yeah, well, like I said off air to you, Chris, obviously we massively struggled against you last time you came to Anfield in the Carabao Cup. If I remember rightly, it was you guys were winning 3-1. I think Oxlade-Chamberlain got the second, then Minamino equalised and literally the last kick of the game to force it to penalty. So again, first half all over us. Deservedly, I think Vardy got a couple of quick fire goals against our very inexperienced defence. And it went to penalties, and it's just like you say, it's a lottery once it gets to penalties. Yeah. It's you just never know. But I mean, these are always good games. I expect a high scoring game tomorrow night, because it's going to be a lot of changes, which I'm sure we'll discuss as well, mate.
Yes, yeah. But I mean, looking at your season, I've got to say, and again, forgive me because I haven't, say, really followed the Premier League, purely for the fact of, we're in the Championship now, obviously. But second you sat, you've not lost a game. You've literally one draw, the difference between you and Man City. I've got to say, 15 goals scored, 5 conceded. It's looking good for you this season.
Yeah, it is looking very good. And I mean, the promising thing is we've not actually played that well, and we've got the results as well, you see. And we're quite a few games this season we've been one goal down at half time, and we'll have to keep on coming back. It's nice to get that sort of relaxation where we can actually be a few goals up, and we haven't had that this season, to be honest. So you can't complain. 5 wins, 1 draw. That was the first game of the season against Chelsea, and we know where Chelsea are at this moment in time.
Yeah.
It's probably looking like a case of 2 points drop rather than a point gain. So, but yeah, I mean, if you'd asked me at the start, especially the away games this season that Liverpool have had, Newcastle away, Chelsea away, obviously fair enough, Wolves, maybe you'd expect them to win that, but we lost 3-0 last season at Molineux, so we've had difficult games. Next two games as well after this, Tottenham and Brighton away, obviously in between the Europa League, of course. But yeah, fantastic start of the season. You can't grumble with that, can you?
No, not at all. I mean, talk me through your transfer window. And again, you know, I don't want to sort of appear, well, I don't know who you signed or what have you. We all know the Henderson saga. We all know the Salah saga that wasn't, then was, then wasn't, and didn't happen. But happy with your transfer window? Many come in, many go out?
Yeah, I mean, lots went out. Oxlade-Chamberlain, Henderson, Fabinho, Naby Keita, who didn't really play at all. He was always injured. I think 7 players went out, 4 players came in. Obviously, we've got the Alexis McAllister deal wrapped up pretty quickly. That was done in June, which was fantastic business, $35 million. I was a bit worried going into it because obviously we've got Sobert's live through the door as well. Absolutely fantastic player, but I don't think he will play tomorrow. I think he'll be rested. And then it was a bit worrying that we'd signed them two quite early. And then we got Wataru Endo through the door, who is just a Hendo without the H. So, but no, I mean, he needs time to embed in the squad. And then, of course, obviously, Gravenberch signed just a couple of days before the transfer window closed. So, yeah, I mean, it's a complete different midfield to the one that we've had last season as well. So you've got to, I thought we wouldn't be as high as what we are at this moment in time, because I thought the players would have to bed in, but complete opposite. If you look at the midfield and the ages as well, McAllister 24, Sobotsai 22, Curtis Jones is in there now, so it's a very, very young midfield. Yes, you've got a World Cup winner, but apart from that, and obviously a Hungarian captain, it's a complete new midfield. So we've done very well to embed them in the squad straight away, and we are looking good, even though we haven't been playing that great. We've been getting the results.
Are you happy with the business? Would you have liked different players in, or overall, would you look back and go, yeah, that was a good window?
It wasn't a bad window. I would have been, obviously, you can be overcritical sometimes, but I would like to have seen a left-sided centre-back come in, and I'd like to have seen cover it right-back as well, because once Trent's injured, which he is at the moment, you've got Joe Gomez, who's injury-prone as well. So, realistically, I would have liked a backup right-back, and I would have liked a left-sided centre-back. Mm. And if we are being really, really picky, maybe a right-sided midfielder on the wing to cover for Salah as well. But other than that, if I was to rate it out of 10, I would probably give it a 7 out of 10 for transfer business.
Well, I think, in fairness, and looking at it from our point of view, I mean, when you look at our last summer transfer window, which was like, well, Fofana out and phase in at the last minute, and that was it. And when you look at what happened, I mean, just going out, I mean, Sumare, Christensen, Thomas, Castagna, Brunt, Evans, Tete, Mende, Bertrand, Amati, Tielemans, Soyuncu, Perez, three that we sold, George Hurst to Ipswich. I mean, we've got $40 million for James Maddison from Spurs. We've got $39-40 million for Newcastle for Harvey Barnes. So $80 million, I think, for two relegated players actually was good business. And neither of them actually ever expressed a willingness that they wanted to leave. But, you know, they were our most sellable assets. And we did have that hangover of the FFP.
Yeah.
Trying to stick to it, something Manchester City obviously never do. Oh, did I say that out loud? But you know, when you look at who we've signed, I mean, it's like your Christmas wish list. It's like Santa's just gone and go, all right, okay, yeah, tick, tick, tick. I mean, it's been amazing. I mean, we've got injuries just to Callum Doyle, which we'll go on to later. But it's been a fantastic window for us. And, you know, everybody in the Championship were going like, yeah, bloody hell, all these players you're signing. I'm saying, yeah, but go back 12 months and have a look at who we were signing then, which was nobody. Exactly. I mean, first of all, no team's ever too good to go down, and we were not too good to go down. We were too bad to stay up. I can definitely say that. Were you surprised that we did?
I mean, if you look at it, you scored the same amount of goals as Aston Villa, but Aston Villa finished in Europe. You guys, unfortunately, went down. So the problem wasn't scoring goals. You were scoring goals for fun, but you just couldn't shut up shop at the other end. So. Yeah, I mean, it's like you say, no side's too good to go down. I mean, obviously, Everton have been scraping along the barrel very much so with their finishes, 15th, 16th, I think, and 17th last season, surviving on the last day of the season. So, I mean, it was, I suppose, from a neutral point of view, it was good for that it went down to the very last game of the season. But I suppose for you guys, like you say, no team's too good to go down. And I think your defence was the main issue, because clearly scoring goals wasn't.
No, it was keeping them out that was the problem. Yeah. And of course, I mean, you told us, and everybody was telling us about Rodgers, you know, three seasons and get rid. And And I've got to be honest with you, you were right. I have to be honest with you, my God, did he lose it at the end? He had absolutely no plan B there at all. I don't think he had a plan A, if I'm totally honest with you. Completely lost the crowd. I believe he lost the dressing room. And when we look then at sort of who was coming in, and in a way it had to be right because it's a difficult league to get out of. You know, we've been there before, you know, 14 seasons it took us from last time going down to coming back up again. But in a way, it was what we needed because when you look at all those players that we got rid of, how many of those would we have tried to keep had we stayed up or wouldn't have wanted to leave or whatever? And they were all average players on very high wages. And, well, maybe not Johnny Evans because obviously he's number one centre-back for Man United. Man United's back too of Evans and Maguire. I'd have never put money on that, I'll tell you. You know. But then we look at the options. And I was very much interested in the guy from Ipswich, who'd come from, funnily enough, from Man United, I believe. Thomason from Blackburn Rovers. You know, somebody with that experience. And then when they announced Enzo, I was like, oh my God. And I was a bit worried because his lack of experience, you know, yes, he'd had a go at Palmer, but everybody was saying he wasn't given the time. But he came in, and I was thinking, like, is he the right man? It excited me. I really was excited. I mean, this is the guy who 6 days before he signed for us was holding the European Champions League trophy.
Exactly.
Were you surprised when you saw that signing?
Yeah, definitely. Because like you say, he's got no experience at all. He's Pep's number two. I mean, it's not always a bad thing when you're Pep's number two. Look what's happened with Mikel Arteta at Arsenal. Yeah. He's doing a good job now as well. I was surprised. I thought you would go with someone more experienced. But listen, it's working at the moment. So I think the only blemish that you've got is the defeat at home to Hull City, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, you are, which I have to be honest with you, I was glad. And not that I ever want my team to lose, don't get me wrong, but everybody was saying, oh, you know, you're the PSG of the Championship, you're the Man City of the second tier, and you're going to go straight back up. And I was never confident of going straight back up because, I think it's very detrimental and very demeaning to the rest of the teams in that division to say we automatically just because we've come down. But, you know, because of our recent history, I suppose we were the big one. And, of course, we are the team, I think, because we've got the Premier League and the champion FA Cup to our name, we're the teams that people want to beat. But I just thought the longer it went on and we started to break the records, like, you know, it's the best opening, you know, we never won the first four games in our history ever. And it would just get going on and thinking, in a way, I wanted to lose one and just get it out of the way.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah, I mean, you've had a great start to the season. And I mean, it's like you say, the Championship is probably the hardest league to get out of, you know. And I mean, even if you go back to like the playoffs and stuff like that, obviously, there's so much tension in that. What, £50 million to the winner or £100 million to the winner? It's absolutely crazy. But, I mean, the other flip side, Southampton, they were expected to do very, very well under Russell Martin. And so far this season, obviously, just beat them again last week, I think it was. It's just, like I said, you obviously definitely up there as heavy favourites to go get promoted, but You don't get promotion on the back of a bit of paper, do you? Everyone knows that.
No, you don't. Right, let's catch up with a few comments. Glasgow Red, how have Leicester been playing this season? I think we've kind of answered that. Better than we were playing last season. I think if we win three more games, we've won as many games as the whole of last season. That's how bad it was. Dylan, the draw was rigged. Always should have been done again because they did put Norwich and Newcastle the wrong way around. Ian Barron, how are you, Ian? How are you doing? Ozan Kabak, now there's a name from the past. I thought, yes, he played, said, we nearly signed him, if I remember. We nearly, I think you guys warned us off him.
Yeah.
We also won two training games when we were down to 10 men.
We did.
OCFC, good collection behind you. Impressive. Thank you. Leicester for Life, good evening. How the devil are you? Well, that's an entire team plus reserves. We needed it. And I think, I mean, yes, I know that Brendan Rodgers was calling for a reset as long as, you know, like two seasons before that when we lost to Forest. But it does help when you go down. It does give you that chance to have a reset. Highfield is in. Hello, Highfield. Enzo Marquez imprinted the Man City style of football at Leicester City. See, he would argue that it isn't the Manchester City style of football. He hates being like, you know, you're playing like Pep and you're doing this, which I kind of get. But it is a style that we kind of saw under Rodgers, but there's a purpose to the end of it. Mm. You know, with Rodgers, it was playing out from the back, playing across the back, lose the ball, concede. Well, at least with us, we are getting the ball forward. And our goalkeeper, my God, what a sweeper keeper. I mean, that's the way teams play. I'm sure you're playing the same way.
Yeah, definitely. Like I say, you had to do what you had to do, didn't you? So,
yeah.
And like I say, you get rid of the dead wood and you got the players left who actually want to play for your football club as well. So I don't know too much about who your goalkeeper is at the moment, if I'm honest. I don't know who's your goalkeeper.
We had a bit of a problem with the goalkeeper last season because, of course, Schmeichel left.
Yeah.
And then Danny Ward, who, in fairness, came into a team with an awful back four, and he really got hung out to dry. And then Iverson came in, and we thought it'd be a battle between them two. We thought Iverson would get the number one, but we've bought Hermansson from Danish number two to Schmeichel.
Okay.
And my God, the other day he was in the centre circle. He was that far forward. I mean, you know, and I know you've got a goalkeeper that likes to go up and score with a header and what have you.
Yeah.
But my God, you know. Yeah, exactly. But it's the way that all teams play these days, isn't it?
Yeah. It is. It's keepers who don't really use the hands that much now. It's all with the feet. So you've got to be able to play a football, and you do see that sweeper keeper. I think most teams do it now. Obviously, Alisson does it, of course. Edison as well. I think every keeper now just has that sort of starting point as well. So, yeah, it's just how football, again, how it's evolved. You use your feet a lot more than you do your hands.
Yeah, no, definitely. Scott's question is, can you play four goalkeepers in the starting lineup? I think if we'd done that last season, we would have still conceded six and seven, yeah. I'll tell you. But this season, it's the Europa League for you. Again, I don't put you into this sort of bracket, but obviously a lot of football fans are saying like, oh, we're better than that and all this and the other.
Yeah.
But it is what it is. I'm sure if you win it at the end of the season, you know, you won't moan. And you've been there before, but is it a disappointment for you?
Yeah, massively, to be honest. But then again, the season's played over 38 games. You finish where you deserve to finish. You know, it's not that, like I say, Villa, who finished 6th and 7th for Brighton and Villa, respectively, they earned the right there. We finished 5th. It's not realistically, I was really, if we didn't get the Champions League, then I'd rather not be in Europe at all. But it's like you say now, you're in the Europa League. It's the only trophy that Jurgen Klopp hasn't won as Liverpool manager. He got to the final in his first season. That adds to the trophy. But any Liverpool fan will say that they don't want to be playing Europa League football. You want to be playing Tuesday and Wednesday night in the Champions League. You don't want to be going to these teams where, no disrespect to them, have got a railway track going around them. I mean, no one wants to play there, really, do they? So,
no.
But, listen, you're in the competition. We're favourites to win it. I think he might go with a weakened team up until we get to the sort of knockout stages. Then he might start taking it seriously.
No, and I want to talk about Jurgen Klopp because I loved him when he first got out. I loved his sense of humour. And it does still come through, although he does like the odd moan every now and again, doesn't he? But what manager yeah. doesn't? But yeah. I've got to say, I'm surprised, and I don't mean this awfully, but I'm surprised that he's still at Liverpool, to be honest with you, because I think a lot of clubs, and I think if you'd been a Chelsea or a Man City, Man United, you would not have stuck by Jurgen. And I think it's fair play to you that you have. Do you still have faith in him as a manager?
Yeah, to be honest, I wouldn't have blamed him if he walked, obviously, at the end of the season, because he just wasn't backed at all. It's all this, next summer, we're going to be getting a £200-300 million war chest. We're still waiting on that, to be honest. We're always, we literally have to sell to buy. But no, I wouldn't have blamed him if he walked last season. But he's 100% the right man for the job. And that's just what I'm not sure. I'm obviously it may come across being biased, but this is why I think Liverpool fans are the best in the world, because they do get behind the manager.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for, but you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/spoken today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
Exception maybe Roy Hodgson when he was in charge, because he was just
you allowed that one. We'll give you that one.
We'll give us that one. But no, he's done a fantastic job. He's got us to finals. He's won everything other than, like I say, the Europa League. And there's rumours now that he might even sign another contract beyond his 2-year extension that he signed as well. So
I've got everything
faith in him.
I think if it was Chelsea, let's say for example, he would not have lasted, you know. And
no.
Do you think? Because I mean, I can remember. I'm an old git, and I can remember pre Alex Ferguson at Man United when Liverpool were the dominant force.
Yeah,
and basically you won everything that was there in front of you. And I always had the greatest respect for Liverpool, because I think sort of when you lost, there was no hiding, there was no blaming the colour of the shirts or bad weather or anything like that. I did totally 100% respect for Liverpool. And that's carried on, to be honest with you. But I just, you know, I don't have to keep coming back to this, but are you disappointed with what you have won over that period? I mean, you had that once. I mean, yes, you've won a trophy here and a trophy there, and you had one good season when you virtually blew everybody away. I think you won everything that was going that one particular season, world club champions and champions of Pluto or wherever it was that season. But overall, are you not disappointed when you look at what the likes of Man City have won?
I mean, you can look at it that way, but three seasons where we didn't win it, we lost out by 1 point. So, I mean, you've got to give credit where credit's due for Manchester City. Phenomenal that them seasons when we got 97 points, they got 98, we got 98, they got 99. It's just absolutely crazy, and you just have to respect that phenomenal team. But yes, would have liked to, if Manchester City weren't around, we would have won more trophies, of course, would have, but it would have been a very, very boring Premier League if it was just a one-horse race all the way throughout the season. So, yeah, credit where credit's due for Manchester City. They obviously won the trophies instead of us. On another day, it could have been a different situation. But no, what we've won, I mean, first Premier League or first Championship trophy, as they called it back then, since 1990, so 30 years. without the Premier League or Championship. I mean, Jurgen Klopp's the first to bring that. Brendan Rodgers was close, but I've got to be happy with the success that he's bringing back to the club.
And of course, knocking Leicester out of the top four on the last day of the season. Don't think we've forgotten that. Written off and you came back from nowhere. But I mean, do you look at the start of this season and do you go, right, you know, six games in, we're playing for second? Or do you think that you could challenge Manchester City this year?
I think we can challenge them, but I think we have to be realistic at the same time. I mean, I do my table predictions like most YouTubers as well. I don't know if you do them,
yeah,
Chris, as well, but I've predicted Liverpool to finish third before the start of the season. I think the biggest challenges right now to Manchester City are Arsenal and Liverpool, because I think Spurs will have a dip in form. They always do.
Yeah.
But Spurs have got a phenomenal squad as well. You can't discount them. But I think realistically, the teams now are playing for second and third and fourth positions, because Man City aren't. They can have a few bad games, but then they can win 15, 16 on the bounce like they've done previous seasons, and just you just can't keep up with that. You can't sustain that, you know. And
is it becoming like the Scottish Premier League?
I wouldn't say it's become like that, because there's more than one team challenging, so to speak. It's not where, like, Celtic have won the Scottish Premiership by January or February. You know, it is a lot more interesting. There is a lot of teams. I mean, top could lose against bottom. We've seen that how many times throughout the seasons. Where, listen, if you turn up and that just go, it goes for any game of football. It's 11 versus 11. If you turn up with the wrong attitude, you're going to get beat. So, you know, just anyone can win, anyone on the day. But yeah, it's definitely Man City's to lose. Even though we're 2 points behind Manchester City on the same amount of games played, City, it says it all. City,
it's a juggernaut, isn't it? Really?
Yeah, I mean, last season they didn't have as many points after the first six games as they have this season, but they won the treble last season. Yeah. You know what I mean? So just this is what you're competing with at this moment in time.
It is, and. I mean, you've got a good record in the Carabao Cup. Thoughts when you got Leicester out of the hat?
I mean, it's a good draw. I mean, it's a home draw. You'd fancy your chances against any team at home. But like I say, it depends what team we put out. We're gonna put a brand new team out. It'll probably be a different 11, completely the one that played on Sunday against West Ham. So it all just depends. But, I mean, you'd still fancy our chances to get the victory, but I'd fancy a high-scoring game, maybe even penalties, to be honest. I think it could maybe go down to that again.
I mean, it's funny because I'm in the position here of like, oh, God, you know, it's Liverpool, you know, bloody typical, you know. And we've had, in fairness and no disrespect, you know, Burton Albion and Tranmere, it's not, particularly hasn't been the most difficult first two games in the cup for us. And of course, we know that you've beaten us 4-0 earlier in the season. So in a way, should we lose this game? Yeah, obviously I don't want to lose it. Like any fan, I want to win every game that we play. Of course we do. But if we do lose this, I'm not going to be crying into my soup. You know,
I'll
don't get me wrong. If it's, you know, 0-0 till 94 minutes and, you know, you get a dodgy penalty, so I'll be fuming. But it will be a case of, well, it was Liverpool, you know.
Yeah.
And it's almost like we're using this to judge ourselves and to see how far we've come. Because, you know, we played you at the start of the Enzo revolution, if you like. And I've got to say, at times, it's like watching Brazil. And I'm not just saying that flippantly, because, you know, we've also got to take into account, obviously, the standard of teams, and no disrespect to the Championship teams, but, you know, we are playing the likes of, you know, the Norwiches, the Stokes and the Prestons, not the Man Uniteds, the Liverpools and the Man Cities. So are we flattering to deceive is, I suppose, what I'm asking myself. And that will be interesting for us to judge that. But at the end of the day, I want promotion.
Yeah.
If that means that we exit the Cup early and then maybe even exit the FA Cup early, I'm not going to say cry into my soup. Yeah. But it's very much is a case of we can judge ourselves. Because one of the big things that I've with Leicester this season is we have played very well. We do play out of the back. The big difference, I think, with ourselves now is that when the goalkeeper kicks the ball out to a defender, most of the time, that defender will actually come to meet the ball. Where under Rodgers, it was like a statue waiting for the ball to come to you. One of the opposition would nip in and pinch it from us. And then obviously go on and score.
Yeah.
We have sometimes looked a little bit dodgy at the back. Again, you know, you feel like, well, if somebody scores three, we might be able to score four. It's that sort of thing. And we've said a lot that, oh, God, you know, if this was, you know, in the Premier League, would we be being punished? And that's something I'm looking to as well, is that will you take the chances? And I suppose it does depend on the team that you put out. If you were to lose, though, against Leicester, whether that was, I don't know, there's no extra time, is there? So it's straight to penalties.
No, just straight to penalties, yeah.
Whether it's penalties or you lose in full time, how annoying is that from your perspective?
I mean, it would be annoying, but like I say, it probably would be quite low down on our priorities anyway. Ideally, we want to be challenging for the Premier League, which we are doing at the minute. The FA Cup would tip a higher priority than the Carabao Cup. This is why we always mix our team up, and that's probably the best chance to potentially beat us, because sometimes it's taken. You've seen it with, obviously you wouldn't have seen the game in the Europa League against LASK, but we were absolutely atrocious. We made 11 changes, and it just took us so far. It took us about 50, 60 minutes to get in the game, and that was because we brung on the big guns and obviously changed the game up. So potentially you could see that again tomorrow evening. But would I be disheartened if we got knocked out? Listen, it's a competition that we can win, but we know we're not as strong as other teams. Man City always put their strongest possible team out, and they generally get far as well. So really, it's not a trophy I'd be looking to win. But like I say, if we get to the latter rounds and we're here, quarter, semi-finals, stuff like that, of course you want to win it, but it's not the highest trophy. You'd want to be winning the Premier League, obviously the Europa League now, and then the FA Cup. So yeah, it's low down on the list, put it that way.
I think it's the same even for sort of teams like ourselves. Like I say, give me the championship or promotion in whatever form it is.
Yeah.
It says here, Jurgen Klopp traditionally rotates his squad in the Carabao Cup, as you've mentioned. And Linders, is he your assistant manager, Linders?
Yeah, he does the press conferences,
All right, he's confirmed, of course we'll make changes, but we want to put our game into place, we want to be dominant, we want to be in their half of the pitch. Injuries, I'm just looking here, Trent Alexander-Arnold, is he likely to miss out?
He is likely to miss out. He was involved a little bit in training yesterday, but it was only just light training, so he's been injured since the Villa game, I think it was, hamstring injury. He might make his comeback on Saturday against Spurs. Potentially, he could be on the bench, but I think it comes too early for Trent. Thiago hasn't played all season, so he's not going to be around either.
I'm going to ask you about Thiago next. Yeah.
Thiago's not played all season, so he's definitely out. But yeah, other than that, we've got any other injury? I don't think we've got any other injuries, as far as I'm aware, anyway, to be honest. Evening, Doug.
Good evening, Doug. How are you? I presume he's not popped out yet. If you were on here, his baby is due any day. And if she goes into labour while the show is on, Doug, just tell her to cross her legs and sit in the corner. And be quiet. They make such a fuss of it, these women. It's only giving birth, aren't they? And you can now tell why I am single. for us, Callum Doyle, he's very unlikely to make it, I would imagine. Well, he's 100% not going to make it. he got injured in the first half. He didn't come on for the second half at the weekend against Bristol City, and he had his foot in a cast, which is a shame because he's our only real left-footed defender. So, but the likelihood we could see is the return of Connor Cody, who we've not seen all season. And I mean, the day we signed Connor Cody and Harry Winks, I've got to be honest with you, I'm like, what? Who? No, sort of thing. I was with my brother-in-law who's Man United fan, and he said, yeah, stop taking the piss, Chris. You've never signed them two. We have, look, you know. Yeah. It's, but we haven't seen Connor Cody, but he's, and I know this is an oft-used phrase, but he's been such a leader off the pitch. He's turned up to every game, even though he's not even been on the bench, you know. And he's been on the bench for the last two games, and he hasn't made an appearance. I'm pretty sure that he will do, alongside, believe it or not, Yannick Vestergaard. Now, you saying this, we laughed at Yannick, and he was bought by Brendan, or as we like to call him, the Bell End. don't know why. Excuse me, because Rob Tanner, who writes for Leicester of the Athletic, said to Brendan, why have you bought this defender? He doesn't fit into your style of play. Brendan says, yes, he does. Of course, I've chased him for a couple of seasons. He's the player I want. And he never played him. He started every single game this season for us as Yannick. He is, yes, he's got his fault. You know, if you get past him, you know, he's got the turning circle of Thomas the Tank Engine, you know. But he's a great, you know, he brings the ball out and he plays really good balls out. And it's funny to see him and how well he's done. And I've got to say, the other player as well that you might be impressed with is Ndidi, who today has apparently been with Barcelona. As we like to call him these days, Twinkle Toes. I mean, you know, this guy, again, last two seasons under Brendan going nowhere. Enzo's come in, and you get that, don't you? A new manager comes in, plays that like Yannick, right? Indeed, that you laugh at. But the other player that I think is going to cause you problems, and that's going to be Harry Winks. Not particularly loved by a lot of Tottenham fans. And obviously, last season, I think he was on loan all season. I think it was Sampdoria. But my God, he's like the Duracell bunny. I'm doing watch-alongs, and I'm thinking, like, that's not Harry. I can't say it's Harry Winks because he was over on the other side a minute ago, but it was. He hit all over the place. And the signings we've made, and I have no way. If you were to ask me to predict the team yesterday, there's no way will I be able to do that, because he made five changes against Bristol City. Not because of injury, just because we're playing two games a week now, with it being in the Championship. And it took them probably 5-10 minutes to settle down. But after that, he's got them playing a style of football. Like I say, jokingly, you could say it's like watching Brazil. But the wingers we've got, I don't know what defence you're going to put out tomorrow, but are you susceptible to a good winger coming at you?
We can be, yeah. I mean, obviously, we know Trent, he gets his criticism for his defending. He does play that hybrid role, but obviously, again, he'll not be playing tomorrow anyway. You've got, I would more than likely think it'll be Gomez playing at right back. You'll probably have, obviously, we'll get onto the team. I don't know if you're doing team lineups and stuff like that, are you, Chris? Or
we can talk through it. And yeah, I don't do an official lineup because, especially for a cup game, because there could be so many changes. So, yeah.
Yeah, it'll be quite a young team tomorrow. It'll be Gomez on the right, I would have thought, and Tsimikas on the left. So there is a chance that you, especially McAteer, if he's up against Gomez. Pedro Neto caused him a few issues a few weeks ago for Wolves. So you just never know. Obviously, we do sometimes play the high line, especially, but it all depends on who's going to be playing, to be honest. I don't know. Is all the all honesty, but yeah, Gomez and Tsimikas, I would say the two fullbacks.
And your goalkeeper, it looks like it's going to be Keller, doesn't it?
Absolutely, quality player. Just doesn't get enough games. Normally, just usually keeps him for the cup games, but I think last season, I think he played the first round of the Carabao Cup, but then I think it was Alisson for the rest of it. Same with FA Cup. So, yeah, it all depends. There's going to be massive amounts of changes, and I'm sure you guys will make a load of changes as well.
Indeed. I mean, you know, it's a case of like that to say who's going to play on the right wing, because we've struggled on the right wing since a certain Mahrez left us a few seasons ago. And yet now, you know, we've never had a right winger, and now we've got like five that can play in that position. and Scott makes the point here. Chris, question for you, is it worth risking Vestergaard and Winks as if they get a yellow card this game and they can't play against Blackburn but can play the following game? I mean, that is a good question, Scott. And the problem you've got is, what's more important, you know? And Blackburn, you've got, if it was later in the season, but at the moment it's still early. And he does say here, on how we will look to replace Doyle, Marchesa said, we have almost double players for each position. The only position we just have one is Callum, which is the left-footed player. We're going to have to find a solution and adapt. But I think the thing is that I would start Vest. I think you've got to, for me, I think when you look at Liverpool, you'll start with a weaker side and then bring the big guns on.
More than likely,
I don't think Leicester can afford to do that, because if we start with the weakened side or the B team, whatever you want to call it, and we're struggling, when we go to bring our big guns on, your guns are bigger. You've got bigger big guns than we have, so to speak. So I think for us, it's a case of go out there with the best 11 to start. Yes, make changes as it goes on, but try and get a lead. And then hopefully, you know, if you do bring the big guns on, we can hold out. It's going to be interesting with Cody, though. He's been out, like you say, for 9 weeks. And it's going to, you know, if he does come back in, it's his first game. But he could change. He doesn't play with standard left-back, right-backs, Enzo. No, he plays with this inverted. I'm too old for all this. Just give me 4-4-2. I'll be a lot happier, you know. We've got James Justin, who can play. I mean, he normally plays on the left, but he did play on the right against Bristol. I mean, that is it. You look at the team and you think, like, Enzo, what the hell are you? You put Ricky on the right, on the left, sorry. But then Ricky ended up playing in the midfield and we end up winning, and just shows what we know about football.
Exactly.
But for us, I think it'll be Solchark in goal. Iverson and Ward do seem to have, they've really dropped down the pecking order. I think once we bought Hermanson in, he was always going to be, if we brought him in, first choice. But Stolchuk's come away, he's come out of the blue, to be honest with you, as the reserve goalkeeper. But he's done nothing wrong when he's played. And I think we'll probably see Justin, for me, Justin, Faze, Cody and Vestergaard in some form of, you know, the defence. Winks has got to be included, yellow card or not. He does like a yellow card, but we need his experience. I think if you got Cody, him, and possibly Vardy up front starting, that I think is what our team will be based around. I mean, looking at it, Vardy, we were saying this yesterday, the guy will be 17 if still be playing.
Okay.
I mean, the guy, you know, he played 90 minutes against Southampton. I never thought he'd play 90 minutes again, ever. Yeah. I know he started against Bristol, but I do see him starting, because I think from your point of view, if you see the team with Vardy in it, it is a bit more worrying, isn't it?
Yeah, and he likes to score against Liverpool, doesn't he? Especially at Anfield as well. He does like a goal. I think he got 2 goals last time in the Carabao Cup against Liverpool as well. So yeah, it would be more worrying, especially with our makeshift back four. I would be worried, but then again, it's our home game, so I'm always confident, especially when we're at home. And this winning run, I think we're on 17 or 18 games unbeaten towards the end of last season as well, bringing it into this season. So it'll be a different team, I know, but I'm still always confident when we play at home.
I can remember going back to the, I think it was Bob Paisley years, when you'd gone something like two seasons unbeaten at Anfield and you hadn't lost for all season. And Leicester rolled into town, did the double over you, and won both games and got relegated. So who knows what could happen. what do you think your main players will be then that you're going to start with tomorrow night?
So Kelleher will be in goal, I would have thought. Gomez right back. I think it'll be the young guy, Jarrell Kwanza, who's came on leaps and bounds this season. I think it'll be him partnering Joel Matip, the two centre-backs. I think Van Dijk will be rested. And I think Konate, who's just came back for an injury as well, I think he'll be rested. Simikas left back. I think Endo will probably play. Gravin Burke will probably play again because he was sub at the weekend. I think Harvey Elliott will more than likely play in that midfield role as well. I think they'll have a young Ben Doak on the right. I think Gakpo will be on the left. And then Jota up front. I think that's a team that's going to be because Jota and Gakpo both came off the bench at the weekend.
And I think the interesting thing for me is that we've always said when we played teams like yourself in the Cup and it's not necessarily starting 11. We look at your bench and think, bloody hell, look who they are. Yeah. But teams are saying that to us this season. You know, the amount of millions of pounds we have sat on the bench waiting to come on. Scott, just to finish with this one, Scott said the youngster Liverpool signed from Leicester. How likely will he play? I can't even think who it is, to be honest with you. I'm guessing it's somebody you signed for the academy.
Yeah, I don't think he will play. I mean, he does give youngsters a chance. Obviously, Bobby Clark's played quite a bit. Ben Doak's played as well. He does give youngsters the chance, but yeah, I think he's only a 15 or 16-year-old that Liverpool signed from Leicester. So yeah, he's in our youth team. So yeah, I don't think he'll be playing tomorrow, mate.
No. I'm going to end with this one then. Obviously, score predictions. what are you going to go for? I'm going to write this down, and if we beat you, I won't remind you of this.
Yeah, no worries. I think, I said to you before, I think there'll be goals in this. We said there's changes from both sides. It's not going to be, it potentially may be a stronger team for yourselves rather than us. Because at the end of the day, it's like you said, Chris, you want to try and maybe start with your strongest 11, try and get some sort of lead, and then you can bring your big guns off. Whereas it'll be roles reversal, if anything, for us. But I think, big up Cedric, I think there will be goals in this one. I'm going to go for Liverpool just to edge it. I'm going to go 3-2.
3-2. Ooh. Well, I actually, in fairness, and I'm going with my head here rather than my heart, because my heart is saying draw and then we'll lose it on penalties. But I think if I do that, I don't think my heart could actually stand it. No, I've actually gone 3-1 to Liverpool. Only because, I mean, it's the Cup, I know, and blah, blah, blah. But I think you will be too strong for us. And like I say, yeah, if you do lose to us, I think that would be the biggest story, you know, the fact that you lost. I mean, we know that if you lose to us, it'll all be how bad you were, not necessarily how good we were. Yeah. You know what Sky's like. But I think you will go through. But for me, having said that, it is all about the performance. I want us to put up, I want us to look at that and go, this is a team that, all right, if we lose to Liverpool, it's Liverpool sort of thing. But we're now looking at that game and we've got a team that can compete, should we go up, with, you know, two-thirds of the Premier League. I'll be looking at as much as the actual result. But as they always say, as long as football will be the winner.
Yeah.
Bollocks, eh? Yeah, Steve, exactly. Mate, thank you so very, very much for coming on. Do give your channel a shout-out again.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me on, mate. Always a pleasure. Statman Stubbs Football Channel on YouTube. Doing very, very well indeed. It's got some regular followers on there, getting a few. Seeing the numbers improving week on week as well. The only thing is when you are doing less shows, obviously the less viewers you get. That's understandable. But Statman Stubbs on YouTube, that's where you can find me. So if you want to go and check it out. By all means, do so. Hit that subscribe button. But Chris, thank you very much for having me on, mate.
No, mate, thank you very much for coming on. I'd say good luck. You know I wouldn't really mean it, though. Like I said, let's just hope football's the winner. Take care, buddy. I'll speak to you soon. All the best. Bye-bye. Thanks to Steve for coming on there. Yeah, I can say it's a weird one, this, because I don't think we are going to win. It would be nice, and it would be... Would it be the shock? I don't know what all the other games are, but look, it will be what it will be. If we lose this but get promoted at the end of the season, this will just be a footnote in the story of the season. But yeah, like you said, Ronald, Wout Faes, possibly if he scores, maybe we should just put a red shirt on him and play 10 against 12. Who knows? Anyway, thanks to all the Liverpool fans that popped in as well. I'm sure Steve's doing a watch along tomorrow night, as indeed will we be. So if you're watching on Leicester Till I Die, we will be going live at 7 o'clock for the watch along. Brad will be joining me before we go live, half time and post match as well. I've been Chris. This has been LTID TV. This is Arnie. Thanks very much, guys. All the best. See you tomorrow night. Good night.
Thanks for watching. These videos are tremendous. You better like them too, or I'll be back.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
That will conclude this evening's entertainment.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.